gentleman who's been on all ends of it, from covering it to making deals to scouting deals, and now analyst for TSN, Craig Button, joins us again. Craig, how are you, my man?
I am really good, Jason. How are you today?
Well, I'm outstanding. I'm great. Lots to discuss.
You're not at the Irish pub today.
Well, I'm at the Druid Irish pub. You betcha I am. It's Friday, buddy.
Oh, you are?
Oh, yeah.
Okay. Oh, yeah.
Yeah,
what a dumb comment by me.
Yeah, hey, no, that's all good. Have you been drinking yet?
Listen, maybe I should.
You should. You definitely should. Hey, one player you and I haven't talked about, we'll get to the trade deadline in a second, is the right winger out of Halifax, Timo Meier. You have him in your latest rankings. You know, he's a big forward, 208 pounds, got 67 points in 45 games, including 31 goals. What do you like about this kid? What do you project him as an NHL player?
Well, okay, let me tell you, he's got 39 goals now. He's up to 39 goals and 78 points. You know, it's funny, like how you, Jason, you watch, and I've watched Timo Meier for 3 years. And, you know, I'm sitting there and I'm going, geez, I really like Timo Meier. Then I start to, you know, right around there, I start to use a lot of different metrics to try to evaluate players' productivity, trying to plug in some different aspects to, you know, just try to see what kind of a picture it paints. And if there's an outlier, you know, if I'm an outlier in terms of having a guy too low or too high and what it tells me, and evaluate it. Anyways, I'm going through that, and I start going through, and I'm going, geez, he's better than this guy. I think he's better than this guy. I think he projects better than this and this. All of a sudden, I'm going, geez, what have I been thinking about? Why have I had him not in the first round? Why have I not had him as high as I have him now? And that's really the genesis of it. He's big, powerful, he's smart. He's got skills. I mean, he plays in straight lines. He's got a great release. He can score from 35 feet. He can score on a power move. He can score on a skill move. He's got really good hands around the net. And he doesn't – I mean, like, I think offensive players are real commodities now going into the draft. And I think about his game. His game from the circles down, he can dominate. He can dominate with his thighs. He can – really hard guy to check, and he doesn't allow himself to be denied. And so the one thing the prospects game, I think, really gives you an opportunity is you're playing against – I mean, you're playing against your peer group in terms of top players. So you got to play with good players, and you got to play against good players. And and he clearly showed that he was capable of doing that. And I think that he's got a chance to be a real, real force as a National Hockey League player.
Craig Button joins us. Craig, we finally wrapped up the bean pot. The weather had it postponed, delayed, and everything else. Give me your thoughts on the final.
It was a great final. I mean, it looked like BU was gonna kind of, just kind of nurse it home. And not that they were trying to nurse it home, but then all of a sudden Northeastern, bang, bang. And Northeastern, Jimmy Madigan's done a fantastic job with Northeastern. You know, at the beginning of the year, they looked disorganized. And he's really got that team organized and playing, you know, real purposeful, coming out of their zone, playing without the puck, attacking with the puck. And they can skate. And, you know, they've received some really good goaltending, and they're a real viable team in Hockey East. And, you know, they gave BU everything they could handle and more. But, you know, you get to overtime and, you know, you kind of, you know, see how the game is, you know, how the winning goal unfolded. And it's no surprise. I mean, Jack Eichel just with a reach in gets the puck up to Rodriguez over to Grzelcyk. And the main thing that I've watched Matt Grzelcyk play since he was in the National Team Development Program, you know, Matt shows one thing, always shows he's got his head up when he's attacking the net. He's aware of what's unfolding in front of him. A lot of guys drop their head, not Matt. And when he saw that there was an opening, he snapped that puck. He's got a chance to be an NHL player. People talk about size. He was a third-round pick to the Boston Bruins. Matt Grzelcyk has an excellent chance, in my mind, to be an NHL player because he can skate. Most importantly, he can think, and he's a big-time competitor.
You got to, you know, and when you see players live, I'm sure you see different things every time. Anything that you hadn't seen from Jack Eichel that you liked even better after?
To me, you know, like when you watch him, like I think he's such a superb playmaker, And I think that when he gets to the National Hockey League, that when he gets with players that can finish and really take advantage, he's going to be able to become that much more prolific. You know, when you think about a freshman, 50 points, leads the NCAA in scoring, you know, the scoring chances he creates, and a lot of times, Jason, he's able to create scoring chances out of seemingly nothing. You know, like he's so quick at coming off the boards and, you know, understanding, okay, there's a place I can attack. And maybe it's not going to pay off for him, but it's going to pay off for a line mate. That's what Jack is really exceptional. So I don't think it's new for me. It just really drives home that point that not only does he attack the cage and not only can he break down defenses, but when they break down, he can make all those fine touch plays in tight to create grade A scoring chances.
Craig Button, ace analyst for TSN, joins us. Craig, I have some people that I've talked to about Jack Eichel. The one thing is, you know, and I know they said the same thing about Leon Draisaitl. His pace of game needs to pick up to be in the NHL. You know, like right now, McDavid is just explosive everywhere on the ice. And Eichel's maybe, you know, a guy who his skating's great, but his pace of play. Do you agree with that? Does his pace have to pick up?
I think every player has to pick up their pace to be successful at the National Hockey League. I think one of the problems, and I think this happens with lots of players, it even happens with Connor McDavid, is that you play so much, and you know you're players in junior, they play three games in 2.5 days, so they're on that Saturday game, and they go, we got the game in hand, so you got to start conserving energy. I mean, really, what it becomes is just smart management of your physical stores, so to speak, and physical energy stores. So, like, you know, you don't have that same issue in the NHL, but definitely, you know, we know that the NHL is a 40-second. You got to be able to play at a high intensity and a high pace, and you know, Jack Eichel to me is no different than any other player. You have to adapt to that, and you have to learn that, and everything. And I will say this, Jason: I don't care who you are. I don't care what players come along in the National Hockey League. There's no perfect player. If you want to look hard enough to find fault with a player, you're going to find it. I differentiate between what I call inherent flaws and developmental flaws. Getting your pace up is only a developmental flaw.
Yeah, okay, exactly.
Developmental weakness.
Yeah.
A weakness, not a flaw, weakness.
Yeah. Let's move to the trade deadline, Craig. You being involved in as a general manager, I've always been curious how, you know, because people are like, oh, look, Sakara got a first rounder. So Jeff Petrie, who a lot of people think is close, like Craig McTavish will obviously ask for that, doesn't mean he gets it. How do the negotiations go? Is it better if you have Jeff Petrie, do you wait to see the offers or do you initiate to try to get the offers? What's the better approach?
You know, I don't know if there's one approach that's better than another. I mean, Ron Francis saw, wait a sec, we get a first-round pick and we get a prospect. And he said, hey, I'm ready to act now. That's a price that I'm happy to take. You know, you may think you can get a better price. I always use the philosophy of a bird in hand is worth two in the bush. And, you know, there's nothing more common than teams asking for too much for the players. I mean, the most recent example, Thomas Vanek last year. And, you know, when teams start to feel that the price might be a little bit too high, they start to move into other directions. And that is always the risk for a general manager. It's great to say, listen, I need a first rounder. Sakara went for a first rounder, and I need this and I need that. But another team might just say, hey, listen, that's fine. We're not willing to pay that. And before you know it, you know what? There are a lot of chairs, and the music stops. And you know what? You get to pick your chair. Unfortunately, you know, you're the one that's still holding the player in a reverse kind of musical chairs way. So it's not just for the team looking to acquire the player. It's also really important for the team trading the player to understand what needs to happen as well.
And what about the honesty factor, Craig? Like, how much of it is about bluffing and say, oh, I've got this other offer? Because I don't know if you want that reputation if you flat out lie to people. How do you play that, you know, teams against the teams within a respectable fashion? Is there a code?
Well, I mean, listen, you can't lie. I mean, the bottom line is there's a big difference between bluffing and lying, okay? You know, anybody that's ever played cards, you know, you wouldn't call them liars. You just say, hey, they're good bluffers or bad bluffers. You know, you're trying to maximize what you're trying to do. I mean, what you want to know is, and I mean, when you're dealing with other managers, you just want to know, hey, listen, you know what? Do I have a chance to be on this player? Is this something, or do I need to, am I not offering you enough, or is this your last price? Or you just want to know what it is. You just want to know what the parameters are. I mean, if a manager says, hey, listen, you know what? If you give me a first round pick today, you know what? We can make a deal. Right. Well, then you can deal with that. But if you sit there, well, I'm not so sure if a first rounder, you know, I went through it. I went through it one trade deadline in Calgary. And you know what? Like the manager was lying. He was instead of being upfront and straightforward, he was flat out lying. And that's fine. If you don't want to do something, just tell me. But don't lie about it. The ironic thing about it was after you know we wasn't able to do anything. At 10-2 or 10-3 Eastern time, he phoned me looking for another one of my players, and I started to laugh. I just started to laugh. I just said, nope, not trading them. So you do get, you do, okay. Yeah, but the vast majority of the managers,
yeah.
And when I say the vast, I mean, there's the rare case where you run into that. They're all, hey, listen, I mean, I remember, I don't think I ever made a trade with Jim Rutherford, but Jim Rutherford and I would always talk and we'd always say, and he says, you know, Craig, yeah, you know, your offer's fair, but I just don't want to trade that player right now. So, and he didn't. So that's all, I mean, your actions are going to speak really loud, right? And, you know, and that's all you want. You want to understand, okay, where am I at? Am I wasting my time? Should we talk? No, I'll wait till the summer. That's okay because you only have so many hours in a day and you got to try to find a way to make the exchanges. And you don't want to be wasting that time if you don't have a dance partner.
Did you ever have a GM that you're just like, man, this guy's a hard-ass negotiator, and you just could never get a deal done because he never wanted to give an inch?
I mean, that's all part and parcel of it. I mean, I think you have to recognize it. You know, Pierre Lacroix, who I've known for a long time, I think that he was tough. I mean, but, you know, I think you have to recognize that, you know, it wasn't so much whether they were going to give an inch. It comes down sometimes to what are you comfortable doing, right? And, you know, I think that if you know what you're comfortable doing, then you can say, no, I'm not prepared to do that. No, I'm not prepared to do that. No, I'm not prepared to do that. And, you know, sometimes it picks up. Sometimes it doesn't. There was deals that Pierre Lacroix and I talked about that we didn't get done. There was other deals that we did get done. He was tough. But I never saw it as something that was an obstacle. You just needed to understand it. I mean, Bob Clark, Lou Lamoriello, I mean, they're tough. And you know what? You don't get to be successful unless you're a tough negotiator. But at the same time, you know what? You respect it because there's a straight up honesty and there's a forwardness. But at the same time, it's not about them. It's about, I think it comes back to you. And you understanding that, okay, you know, I'll wait. I can sit here. And the biggest thing, Jason, I think when you get to the trade deadline, you have to know that you can be comfortable not making a trade.
Yeah.
There's nothing worse than making a trade that you make because you feel you have to make it.
Craig, great stuff. It should be an interesting whatever at now, 68 hours left until the deadline. I appreciate it.
No, yeah, it'll be fun. There's still lots to go on. I can tell you this. You know, one thing I think, Jason, I think that the Philadelphia Flyers have probably entered the sell mode.
I like that. All right, sell mode. Perfect.
But you think about it. Just let me quickly say this, right? So you're talking about Jeff Petrie. What happens if Braden Coburn comes on the market, right? So All of a sudden now a team that was talking about Jeff Petrie, they're going, we're not paying that price. And now maybe they're willing to pay a little bit more for Braden Coburn. That's the other part you got to keep in mind. Keke Andel comes on the market. All of a sudden, you know, Don Maloney says, well, maybe we should move Keke Andel, right? Yeah. I mean, these are all, it's moving parts, and you got to be aware of them.
Should be interesting. Lots happening down the stretch. I think McTavish will wait till the final day to make that deal with Petrie. We'll see what happens. Craig, we'll talk to you next Friday after all the dust has settled on the trades.
Yeah, we will. Thanks, Jason.